Romans chapter 10, again, if you're following along. Let me read these first five verses. Romans 10, verses 1 through 5, where Paul wrote, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." Now I am still on the subject, the first of these three things that I want to try to bring to you, I'm still on the subject of the primary flaw of religion. And there is a primary flaw of religion. But we'll also, I've mentioned it and a couple things about it, we'll also look at the primary attribute of believing. And then from this passage, thirdly, we will look at Paul's primary concern for Israel. Now, to sum it all up, religion's primary flaw, if you boil it all down, religion's primary flaw is this: rather than bowing to Christ as God's righteousness, they try to establish their own righteousness. It's correlated along the lines of what I gave you last Sunday when I said there are only two religions among mankind. That is the religion of works for merit. Even, and I'll use the phrase, but they're not necessarily that, but it's what men call, even good works.
Yeah.
Good works bring no merit before God.
Exactly.
But there is the religion of works for merit, and then there is the religion of a graciously bestowed merit. But on the and on the other hand, we see, as I indicated by the title, the primary attribute of believing. It's not just love. Okay? Faith worketh by love. That is, faith, the word there means, is energized by love. The faith that God gives, Joe, is a faith that loves what it believes in. It doesn't just believe it because that's the facts. It loves what it believes in.
Yes, sir.
But the primary attribute of faith, as pointed out here by Paul, is submitting to God.
Yes.
But it is particularized. It's not just submitting to God in a circumstance. It's not submitting to God in your job. Well, this is what I got to deal with it. All of those things, David, are necessary and good. All of those things flow from faith. But as Paul puts it here, it is not bowing to Christ as the righteousness of God. The primary attribute of believing is bowing to Christ as God's righteousness.
Amen.
That's the primary attribute. Note, and I'll probably mention this in more detail later, but note that it says about Abraham, by faith he got up and got out of the Ur of the Chaldees, right? But it was years later to where it was said, Abraham believed in the Lord and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now that faith that caused him to get up and get out was a God-given faith. And it's something that men cannot do within themselves. But nowhere did God declare the man as righteous until he believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when it says he believed in the Lord and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It's when God told him that through his seed, all the families of the earth would be blessed. You see, all that God gives concerning faith is to bring us to this one central thing, to bow down to Christ as our righteousness. That's where it's at.
Yes, sir.
You can believe God's absolutely sovereign and still die and go to hell.
Amen.
You can submit to the absolute sovereignty of God and still perish. But those who submit to Christ as their righteousness will not perish. You see the difference there? We also will look at Paul's primary concern for Israel. Now we will see, not a lot of detail, I'm not going to take the time to go into the detail, but we will see, according to Scripture, that God will establish Israel in the land one day. Again, now they're there now as a nation, but they don't own everything God gave them. They don't occupy everything God gave them, but the Word says they will.
Amen.
But they're going to do it in a saved condition.
Yes, sir.
Because to be in the land is of no value if you miss Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
You see? Paul's primary concern for Israel was not that they'll be back in the land one day, was it? It was that they might be saved.
Amen.
Saved. Now, remember Paul, and this is by way of reminder, that Paul lays the foundation here for religion's primary flaw. He says, I bear them record, they have a zeal of God. And all around us we see people, men and women, boys and girls, young folks, that have a religious zeal. And not just any religion in particular. In fact, they have a God zeal. They have a God of the Bible zeal. I dare say there are some of them that are more zealous attending their services than some of the people we've had here that profess faith in Christ. They're more faithful to what they believe than some who we've had in our midst are faithful to what they believe. But that's not the point. Their problem was, a problem was, Paul says, it's not according to knowledge. Right? I bear them record. They have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, if that was all it said, it wouldn't be enough because there's more scripture. But if that was all it said, the context might lead us to think, well, all they need is the knowledge, right? But remember, he goes on. He says, for they being ignorant. Their knowledge, or the lack thereof, I should say, their lack of knowledge is not merely academic. It's intrinsic because it is ignorance. Ignorance is intrinsic. Not knowing is not intrinsic. It's not because of what we are. It's because they haven't heard. These people had heard.
Yes, sir.
They had the scriptures. They had the synagogue. They had the Word of God. They trusted in the scriptures. Many of them did they not? They had the scriptures. They had the law. They had the academic instruction of the Word of God. But they did not have that inner life and light of the Spirit of God. They were ignorant. But ignorant of what? Not just ignorance in general. They were ignorant of the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Now remember, their ignorance did not cause them to be inactive. Did it? Their ignorance caused them to be wrongly active. They got a zeal, but it's not according to the knowledge. But their problem's not just academic. It's based upon ignorance. And it's ignorance of the Word of God. And it's not just all they need to hear is to hear. They'd heard. For hundreds of years, they had heard. They'd had the prophets declare unto them, the Lord our righteousness. Right?
Yes, sir.
The Lord our righteousness. And God willing, we'll look at that a little bit later on. But the problem here is intrinsic. Their intrinsic ignorance fueled not inactivity, but a man-centered self-righteousness.
Yes, sir.
And that is the impetus of all human religion.
Yes, sir.
Because they're ignorant of true righteousness, that is, God's righteousness, they go about to establish their own righteousness.
Exactly.
The very fact that men and women, boys and girls do this lets us know we are religious by nature. But we have no knowledge by nature. And the word here is more than just academic knowledge even. It's a knowledge that has to be bestowed, a knowledge that has to be given. So again, let me point it out. their lack of knowledge based upon this ignorance of God's righteousness didn't fuel an inactivity. Well, there's nothing we can do. Because that's actually a good place to be brought to. To where God shuts you up.
Yes, sir.
To where the more you do, the worse you feel.
Yeah.
You know? To where the more you lay your hands to, the more defiled it becomes. And you realize, Joe's already quoted it, that even not our righteousness, that's true, but where you begin to realize my righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. You quote that to most professed, well, to any professing Christian, they'll say, amen, that's right. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. But what God brings, what God teaches his people is my righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. So we have this four. They have a zeal of God, but it's not according to knowledge. Why? Four. That's because they're ignorant of God's righteousness. And ignorance, this kind of ignorance, always causes man to put his hands to work. We've seen that with when our daddy Adam fell, that's the first thing they did was try to cover their own nakedness. And they did amongst themselves. Adam could no longer see Eve's nakedness. Eve could no longer see Adam's nakedness. But God knew what they still really were. And you remember the touchstone of it all? What was it that made the difference? It wasn't simply work. Because salvation takes work. Salvation takes work. But it takes the work of God.
Amen.
Scripture says that God made coats of skins. That means hide. An animal of some sort had to die so that their nakedness would be clothed. Listen, the skin covered the physical nakedness, Mason, just as well as the fig leaves did. The fig leaves covered their nakedness just as well as the skins did. It wasn't that was the difference. It was the blood. It was the blood. And the righteousness of God is established by blood.
Amen.
By blood. The soul that sinneth, Scripture does not say it may die. It doesn't even say it should die. Scripture says the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Amen.
And the only remedy for that is blood. It's death.
It.
When a sin is committed, blood must be shed.
Yes, sir.
To atone for that sin.
Exactly.
I'm just going to give you some conclusions here. Religion's primary flaw is what? They missed Christ.
Yeah.
But it's more than just missing him in some academic way. They had heard of the Messiah. They even looked for the coming of the Messiah. But for what reason? To establish righteousness? To be their righteousness? No. They seen the Messiah, that they felt the Messiah was to come to put down their earthly enemies. They had of their day, it was the health and wealth gospel of their day.
Yes, sir.
That's what it was. The Messiah is going to come. We're all going to be healthy and wealthy. We'll have all the promises, but the one they've missed. That's righteousness before God.
Yes, sir.
There are a lot of people in the Christian religion. Remember, I said I'm not going to use the word Christendom because of the context. There are a lot of people in Christian religion that they have believed in Jesus. Not because they have been bowed down to him as their righteousness, but because they think they're going to gain something from it. You see, the truth is, I believe Christ, even if I end up going to hell. I believe him. And I believe him as my only righteousness. And Joe, if God still puts me in hell, God's still right.
Yes, sir. That's right.
apart from his own sovereign purpose to save me through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, Jesus Christ is to be submitted to as the righteousness of God, even if no one got to go to heaven.
Amen.
Most people think that this thing about religion is just to miss hell and make it to heaven. No right-minded person wants to go to hell. But no religious person really wants to go to heaven either.
Exactly.
No. They don't want to go to heaven where Christ is the light.
Exactly.
Where it's all going to be about Christ. I don't mean to be mean here, but I'm sure it is. Going to heaven is not about seeing mama again.
Exactly.
Or daddy again.
Exactly.
It's not even us. It's not even about us seeing one another again. It's about being with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And Job being able to worship him as he ought to be worshipped.
Amen. That's right.
That's what it's about.
Yes, sir.
That's what it's all about. Now here's the conclusion. And Paul kind of gives that as a conclusion here. Four, right? Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Now this is another one of those verses. It's not another. It's almost every passage of Scripture. Every passage of Scripture, religious man will twist it for his own designs. There are those, when they read this, they say, ah, well, okay, if you're going to do what then? Do the gospel, then you can live by that. Or do the law, then you can live by that. That's not what Paul's saying.
No, sir.
Here's what Paul's talking about. Galatians chapter 3. This is what Paul means by this statement. When he says that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. Here's what he means. Galatians 3 verse 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Remember in 2 Corinthians, Paul calls the law something glorious, doesn't he? Romans 7, he calls it holy, just, and good. In 2 Corinthians, he calls it glorious. But glorious what? It's a glorious condemnation of death.
Exactly.
For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which were written in the book of the law to do them. James puts it this way. If you miss it in one point, you're guilty of all.
Amen.
Because it's not just a gathering up of rules. It's one law.
Yes, sir.
If you break one point, you've broken the law.
Exactly.
It's not there to say, well, here's the parts I can keep. Then God forgives me for the rest. It's not the way the law works. The law demands absolute perfection.
Amen.
That's what the law demands. And it allows for nothing less. Why? Because the man that doeth those things, or cursed, is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.
Amen.
So human righteousness by the law is impossible. Now we've already looked at it last week, right. But then people, the question then begs itself, what purpose then is the law, right? The law was given to show us what we really are.
Amen. Right.
I'll put it this way, the law was given so that when God gives spiritual life to an individual and they then recognize what the law truly says, it forces them to flee to Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
They have no other place to go.
Exactly.
Paul put it this way, I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died.
Amen.
Paul there is not talking about Adam's fall, per se. Paul is talking about what he experienced when God Almighty gave him spiritual life. There was a time he had the law all, he was brought up, he was one of the youngest at the time, and excelled in the law far above all his equals, everyone around him. But he says, I was alive without the law once.
Yes, sir.
In Paul's mind, he was a law keeper.
Yeah.
I have applied myself to keep the law. And Paul felt as though, and I believe he means this, when it came to the keeping of the law, he was blameless.
Exactly.
Because when he did fail, what did he do?
Yeah.
He offered the sacrifice.
That's
right. Right? I'd offered the sacrifice. When I did fail, I offered the sacrifice. But what was Paul's problem? He'd missed Christ.
Exactly.
He did not see that Christ was the end of the law for righteousness.
Right. Yes,
to everyone that believeth. No, human righteousness by the law is impossible. But think about this. Law righteousness would be at best human righteousness. But it's not the righteousness of God. You see, I've heard it taught before, and I've probably said it before, years ago, that the law is a picture of God's righteousness. That's not right. The law says, thou shalt not kill. That's what it says.
Yep.
Thou shalt not kill. What does God say about himself? I kill.
Yeah,
I make alive.
Yes, sir.
God's not bound by the law. Now our Lord came and was made under the law. He kept the law. But he did that not for himself, but for us.
Yeah.
But he did not establish for us a legal righteousness. We, by faith, bow to him as the righteousness of God.
Amen.
Now that's not my opinion. That's what Paul says.
Yes, sir.
Look at it, Romans chapter 3. We'll begin in verse 19. Again, here's the point I'm making. Law righteousness would be at best. That's even if you could do it.
Yeah.
Now, if you could do the law, God would accept you.
Yes, sir.
But the precedent is already, we cannot. Human righteousness by law is impossible.
Exactly.
But we're pointing out the true nature of the law. You see, law righteousness would be at best human righteousness, but it's not the righteousness of God. And the scripture acknowledges that. Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law. Why?
Yeah.
That every mouth might be stopped.
Amen.
And as Earl used to say, the law says, shut up.
Amen. That's it.
But I shut up.
Exactly.
Well, I've never shut up. Yeah. All right, just shut up. Don't even speak. Just be quiet. Why? And all the world may become guilty before God. That's the purpose of the law.
Amen.
The law didn't make us guilty. We were already guilty, but the law came alongside of sin. It was added because of transgressions.
Yes.
The law comes along and says, this is what sin is. And when you read the law with seeing eyes, you'll see the law says you're guilty. You're guilty. You will experience what Paul said. You may have thought yourself to be alive at one time without the law, when you really didn't know what the law was. But when the commandment came, and usually God will point out a specific thing for individuals. You know that? Because we all can look at the law and we kind of pick out some of the things we're better at.
Yeah.
Don't we?
Oh, yeah.
You see, the law is not just 10 commandments. It's hundreds of commandments. And I won't venture to say how many. There are those who said there are this many. But I don't know. I'm not even going to take the time to look at it. I don't have time to look at all that.
Exactly.
But for Paul, it was this. Covetousness. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
Paul recognized that his covetousness, Joe, was much more than just wanting what he did not have. It was idolatry.
Right. Yeah.
It was idolatry. When the commandment came, sin revived. Oh, Paul knew he was a sinner in Adam, like everybody else. But what? I'm doing the law.
Yeah.
I'm keeping the law. When I mess up, I turn to the sacrifice. The problem was, He refused to bow to Christ as his righteousness. That's what his problem was as Saul of Tarsus. According to this, the law was given, let me just go get you back here, that every mouth might be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God, and they are, whether they see it or not.
Yes, sir.
They are. But then look, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin.
Amen.
But now, the righteousness of God, what's that next phrase?
Yes, sir.
Without the law.
Amen.
So we're not talking about a legal righteousness here, are we?
No, sir.
No, it's much more than a legal righteousness. See, being bowed to Christ, believing on Christ as the righteousness of God is much more than having a legal righteousness.
Yes, sir.
It is to be imputed God righteousness.
Amen.
He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be what made what? The righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
There are some who believe what we get is a legal righteousness. Oh no. No. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Not faith in Jesus Christ. Christ is God's righteousness.
Amen.
See, that's the whole point. You don't believe, and then God uses your believing even as righteousness. You don't believe to establish righteousness. You believe in an established righteousness. God's righteousness, the third thing, in the way of conclusion here, God's righteousness is a person. It's a person. Christ is the Messiah. But think about it. These Jews of old looked for the coming of the Messiah. They looked for the being reestablished in their land. Did they not? They looked for all the promises except for one. The one promise they'd missed. That was this. You have a need of a righteousness that you cannot establish by your own works. Bow down to me as your righteousness. And this is what Jeremiah prophesied. Not just what would happen, or not what ought to happen, I should say, but what will happen. Now turn to it. Jeremiah chapter 23. Now this is where we will see that these three things, the titles I've given, all of these things overlap. That is religion's primary flaw. They miss Christ, but it's more than just missing him. They don't bow to Christ.
Exactly.
You see? There are a lot of people in Christian religion today. They believe in Jesus. They believe he's the Messiah. They believe he is a righteousness.
Yeah.
But he's not the righteousness. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. That's it.
They believe in Jesus, but they're still going about to establish their own righteousness.
Exactly.
By the works of their own hands. Listen to what Jeremiah prophesied. Verse 5. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord. So, are those days coming or not?
They
will come. Why? Because God says so.
Amen.
Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch. Now, he has done that.
Yes, sir.
The righteous branch has been raised. He was born in Bethlehem. And he was, even then, the righteous branch. He was, even before that, the righteous branch.
Yes, sir.
But here is what? Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David.
Yeah.
Not just raise a righteous branch, but unto David. Who was Jesus of Nazareth? The son of David.
Yeah.
His great, 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 whatever it would take, Mason, grandson. I will raise unto David a righteous branch and a king. And he was born king.
Amen.
Wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
Look. And shall reign and prosper. Now let's stop a moment. Somebody said, well, God, Christ is sovereign and he reigns. That's not what it's talking about. He was sovereign back then. Yes, this is talking about something that was going to happen.
Amen.
In Jeremiah's time. It's not talking about the absolute sovereignty of God's reign. It's talking about a specific reign of this one being raised unto David, a righteous branch.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You're not talking about God's absolute sovereignty. He's always reigned. But there's a sense in which he did not reign. Wasn't there? Because behold, the days come.
Yes.
Jesus was not flesh before that day. Was he? Was he? No. He was not flesh before that. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was not, he became flesh.
Amen.
At this time. And Jesus did not begin to reign in salvation. God reigned from the first salvation to the last one.
Amen.
It's not simply talking about reigning in salvation. There are people who try to apply this to Calvary alone. It won't work. Or either you got to say salvation didn't exist until Christ died. Right?
You're right.
That's not the reign he's talking about. This king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Do you see that right now? Now come on. Well, you know. Go on. Explain it however you will. If you try to revert back to salvation itself here, you're missing it. Because it's just this justice and judgment in the earth will be just as real as him being raised unto David. How real was that? How literal was that? Was he the grandson of David, great, 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 whatever, or not?
Exactly.
He was literally of the seed of David.
Amen.
Of a specific tribe, Mason. And look, in his days. See that? In his days, Judah shall be saved. Well, that's just talking about the church. Well, why does it say, and Israel shall dwell safely?
Yeah.
Judah and Israel are spoken of here as separate.
Yes, sir.
Are they not? And somebody said, but we're the Israel of God. That's true.
Yeah.
But so are they.
Yeah.
Huh? In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell in safe, shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness.
Amen.
See, all of these things. Is Christ literally God's righteousness or not?
Exactly.
Everything else here is just as literal as the rest of it. You see, even back then, the promise of the Messiah was given. And here it's given in no uncertain terms. It is summed up as what? The Lord, our righteousness.
Yes.
You see that? A righteousness that's without the law. Let me say it just as plain. You don't even have to keep the law. But that's almost an idiotic statement.
Yeah.
Because you can't keep the law.
Exactly.
Neither can I. This righteousness has been established without the law. It is witnessed to by the law and the prophets. It is the Lord himself, Yahweh, the Lord, our righteousness.
Amen.
Now man is only of two kinds. He's either trying to establish his own righteousness or he's bowing down to one that already exists.
That's it.
That's Christ. Now, as I said, God's righteousness is a person. You don't believe to get God to try to get God to give you favor. You and I can't believe enough to get God to be favorable toward us.
Amen.
We can't believe strong enough. We, at our best, must cry out with that one individual. And we will if we're honest. And we're generally not. But on occasion, God forces us to be. Lord, I believe. And I say this all the time, but why? Because I can relate to that fella.
Yes, sir.
Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Well, I thought unbelief was condemnable. It is.
Yeah.
Apart from blood.
Exactly.
Apart from blood. You see, when I did believe, Joe, I didn't cease to not believe. You think about that. Believing is not ceasing to be an unbeliever at the same time. Because there are many things in which I do not believe God. If I believe God like I should, I could keep the righteousness that's of the law. Couldn't I? If I really believe like I should, think about this. Law righteousness must be established by an unfailing effort. That's the way you've got to do law righteousness. God says His people bow down to an already established righteousness without any effort of their own.
Yes, sir.
Think of this phrase, Romans 4, I'm already there. What shall, it's not a phrase, it's a whole passage. What shall we say then to what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory. But then look at what he says. If Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory. But then what does he say? But not before God. God will not have our works. But what if I do my best? Remember, our best, our righteousnesses, are as filthy rags in God's sight. Somebody, that don't sound right, but it is right. That's the whole point. God sees what we do for what it really is. The chief sin of Satan was what? Pride.
Yes, sir.
Pride. And any effort I put forth to establish a righteousness before God reeks with what? Pride. If you could do it perfectly, you'd have the right to be proud. You'd have the right to be proud. Why did he have no right to be proud? Because even what he was a creation of God. Wasn't he? The creation of God. Man in the garden, even when he was declared very good, was still not equal with God. God was still his creator. God was still his God. God was still his Lord.
Yes, sir.
Self-righteousness, here's the fifth thing, at its best. I'm not talking even about a Pharisaical self-righteousness per se. I'm talking about people who sincerely think that if I just help the poor, if I just love my neighbor, you know? People who sincerely think that by doing these things, they can gain God's favor, they can establish righteousness before God. Paul here indicates it in Romans 10 to be rebellion.
Yes, sir.
Because to not submit is what? It's pride. It's rebellion. Submit. Now we're seeing the primary attribute of faith. To submit means to do what? To bow down.
Yes, sir.
It is to acknowledge the superiority of the one bowed down to.
Exactly.
Correct? It is to acknowledge the righteousness of the one bowed down. You don't bow down to someone that's worse than you, do you? Do you? At work, do you give in to the people that are lazy and won't do their job? You better not. Even if it costs you your job. You don't give in to people like that. But see, the problem is, we are less than God.
Sir.
Because not only were we created, not only are we a creation, now we're a fallen creation.
Yes, sir.
That's it. The sixth thing. Think about this. I'll be just a few more minutes. The sixth thing. No work is a good work when that work seeks to establish righteousness, the righteousness of the worker. You hear that? Let me say it again. I messed that up. No work is a good work when that work seeks to establish the righteousness of the worker. That is boiling works right down. No work is a good work when the work seeks to establish the righteousness of the worker. That's why faith is called submitting. Because it doesn't bow and say, God, I bow to you, but here's my efforts. It bows to Christ and says, Lord, I have no effort. Even my best efforts are foul unto you. That's what faith does.
Yeah.
Even the preaching of the gospel is not a good work if it's done trying to establish righteousness.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, the preaching of the gospel is not righteousness. It is the revelation of a righteousness. Isn't that what Paul says?
Yeah.
Preaching of the gospel is not righteousness. Why? I preached the gospel today. You all didn't. I must at least have a one up on y'all. Right? Now maybe you can leave here and you can go find somebody. You can preach to them. That's all right. Then you'll have one up on everybody else. Right? No. The preaching of the gospel is not a righteousness that God will accept.
Sorry.
You hear me? The preaching of the gospel is not something you can do to get God's favor. Paul says, verse 16 of chapter 1, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, and you ought not be either, and neither should I be. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. There's that word again, forward. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed.
Amen.
Revealed. Even faith does not establish righteousness by believing. Faith is bowing to an already established righteousness. It's bowing to a person.
Yes.
It's bowing to Christ as God's righteousness. Now let's go on from Romans 4. I was there a moment ago. I didn't finish that. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him forward, not as righteous. Our believing is not so, okay, they believe, so I'll receive them. No, you believe. If you ever believe, you'll believe because God's already received you.
Amen.
Go back to Cain and Abel again and look at it. It says, God did not respect one offering, and God did have respect unto another offering, right? But it says more than that.
Yes.
It says, God had respect unto Abel and his offering. God respected Abel before that offering, because that offering didn't take away one sin.
That's exactly right.
Did it? Not one sin. That offering pointed to another offering. God chose us before the offering was ever made.
Amen.
God had accepted us in Christ before Jesus Christ ever died.
Yes, sir.
I was chosen in Christ before I ever fell in Adam. This is something about election that even most grace people don't preach.
Right.
They don't want to be a super whatever it is. There's, you know, they got one of them words for people like me. Let me tell you something. You can't believe enough to get God to accept you.
Exactly.
And God doesn't even use the gift of faith, so he can't. He's already accepted us.
Amen.
Faith is not for God's benefit. It's for my benefit.
Amen.
Amen.
Faith is for my good, not for God's good. Faith is what God does for me, not what I do for God.
Amen.
No, let's go on. Look. Abraham believed in the Lord. Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him not as righteousness, but for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of what? Debt. And let me tell you, God is indebted to no one. Not because God's unjust, but because God is just.
Yes, sir.
None of us can put forth enough effort that God would have to reward us by debt. You see it? By debt. Now there is a reward, but it's a free reward.
Yeah.
Because look at it. But to him that what? What does that say? But to him that worketh not. And this is an absolute negative. It's not say, well, if you choose not to work. No. In the sense of Romans 10, you do choose not to work. I refuse to try to establish my own righteousness before God.
Amen.
When it comes to establishing righteousness, I refuse to work.
Yes, sir.
I bow to Christ. Now, do I always do that? No. I don't always do that. I wish I could sometimes.
Yes, sir.
But I can't. But let me tell you, you can't do that at all at all, unless God Almighty first shows you grace.
Amen.
Look at it. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth what? You would automatically, most of you think, the believer. He justifies. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the believer. It's not what it says. Now that's true.
Yeah.
Right? But it's not what it says. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. Can you take your place with me?
That's it.
As ungodly? Even your best deeds are ungodly in God's sight. Can you bow down to Christ as the only righteousness God accepts? Can you do that? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man. Now this is something David knew, because David didn't remain ignorant.
Exactly.
Right? Even as David also described, David, back then, even back then, Joe, when somebody said all he had was the law. No, he had more than the law.
Yes, sir.
He had the prophets. He had the promises, didn't he? Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And he said, here's the quote, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord refuses. That's, you put it that way. To whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's my only hope, because I'm one of them people right there. That's my only hope of having righteousness before God. And what's faith enable you to do? It enables you to submit. That's what it does. But not just submit, okay? But to submit to Christ as the righteousness of God.
Yes, sir.
You may submit to baptism, but that's not it. That's not the primary attribute of faith. You may submit to loving the brethren, right? You might love the brethren. See, somebody said, well, but they don't really love the brethren. Well, Israel's not really Israel. Didn't he say they're not all Israel, which are of Israel? But they turned around and called them what? Israel. Now, come on. You see, men like to play with words. No, I'm ungodly, yet I'm called a saint. And see, we men want to mince words. Why? Because we think that by explaining it really detailed, somebody will get it. No, they're only going to get it if God opens their eyes, if God opens their ears, and God opens their heart.
Amen.
And they'll understand it in spite of me.
Yeah.
Look at what he says, Romans 9. Listen, he establishes this first. Verse 6, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Right? So if they're not all Israel, why would you continue to call them Israel?
Yeah.
Because they still are. Just not after the Spirit. Not after the promise. Well, then look at what he says. Now that's already said. Then go over to chapter 11. Verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. What? I thought Israel did obtain what he sought for. Huh? What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. But let me tell you something. You can never separate a Jew as not being a Jew, even though he may not be a true Jew, which Paul says is one that's in the heart. Now somebody says, I'm changing the heart, so I'm a true Jew. No, you're a wild olive branch. If you're a Gentile, you're a wild olive branch. Yes, we're grafted in. Where? Where the ones were broken off.
Amen.
That's right.
And don't you boast against the broken off ones. Every unbelieving Jew, we have no right as Gentiles to say, boy, I'm glad I made it in. Huh? Look at them. Huh? Paul says, don't be high-minded. You better fear God.
Yes, sir.
We're here. They were broken off. That's right. But why? Because of unbelief. And we were grafted in. How? By faith. And we stand by faith. And that's the only way we stand. In other words, God put me there and God keeps me there.
Yeah.
And that's the only way it can happen. Think of this. Here's it. What is the primary flaw of religion? It's missing Christ. That's true. But it's not just missing Him, not even knowing anything about Him. It's not bowing down to Christ as my God-accepted righteousness. Religion's primary flaw is rebellion to Christ only as righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Think about this. Why should we do good works? Why? Why should we try to do this thing or that thing? Why? For the work's sake itself. And nothing else. If somebody needs fed, feed them just for the feeding's sake. That's the whole point. You know, somebody needs some clothes, give them clothes just for the clothing's sake. And somebody said, well, preaching the gospel's got to be different. No, if we all shut up, the stones would cry out. God's people will hear His word. Even if I am shut up today, there'll be not one more person saved by me preaching next Sunday or this Sunday or any other Sunday than if I just never preached at all. Had that been God's sovereign purpose.
Yes, sir.
See, the only reason we're here today is because God Almighty brought us here.
That's it.
And this is the whole thing. Whenever you do a work, refuse it as any kind of righteousness before God.
Exactly.
If you do anything, do it to simply try to honor God. His name, and to benefit the person that you're doing the work for. That's another thing about good works. Good works are always for someone or something else. Good work is never about yourself. The only thing ever called a good work done by fallen men in Scripture, there's one thing. That's when that woman had that alabaster box of ointment, and she broke that box of ointment, and she poured it on Jesus Christ. Anointing. What did it say? Anointing Him for His burial. That's a good work. You see, anything that comes back to me is for me, Joe.
Yeah.
It's not a good work.
Exactly.
It's filthy rags.
That's right.
That's why it says even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. Because any righteousness done to establish the righteousness of the worker is unfit for God.
Wow.
That's why faith honors God. Not just because it believes God is up there and He exists. He's got this doctrine. He got a church. You go to church, be good people. Faith bows down. It submits to Jesus Christ as God's righteousness.
Amen.
Father, as we part and go separate ways, may we be constantly reminded of this truth. I know I'm so prone to forget, not in some absolute fashion, but yet in my conduct, Lord, I forget. And Lord, remind me of these things, that my righteousness is to no avail. My righteousness to me is a negative. It's a harmful, sinful thing. Bow me to Christ as your righteousness. I ask it in His name. Amen.